On today's episode of the Brad and Will Show, y'all saw the title. We have Vanessa Richardson on the show. We're going to be talking about the Rockets coaching staff and hot topics during this 10-game winning streak. So you're not going to want to miss this one.
All right, and welcome back to an episode of the Brad and Will Show. Y'all saw the title. Like Brad said, we have Vanessa Richardson on the show. This is her second time on the show. It's a very special guest. I don't feel like we have to do this, but I want you to do it anyways. Like, just let everybody know where they can find you. You know, you're a mega superstar on television right now, but let everybody know where they can find you so we, you know, they can tap in what you're doing.
I'm so happy to be here again. So thank you for the invite. You can find me at Sports Vanessa, pretty much everywhere. Instagram, Twitter. I am still on Facebook. I have a YouTube page where I upload a lot of our Rockets interviews that we do on Space City Home Network. Excited to be here. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Vanessa also has, you know, a YouTube. She dropped a really good episode yesterday, very insightful with Ben.
Thank you.
Yeah, so make sure to check that out as well. And Vanessa, we have a short list of questions for you today. Again, exciting times for the Rockets.
Yeah.
Longest winning streak in 6 seasons. They have a chance to extend it today against Utah to 11. So hopefully they're able to do that. But yeah, we just want to kick it off with the hot topic, Jalen Green. You know, this month I have some stats pulled up. You know, 28.5 points per game this month, along with 6 rebounds, 3.7 assists, shooting over 50% from the field, over 40%. From 3 on over 9 attempts a game. And again, he's led this Rockets team to 12-1 this month. So what are your thoughts on Jalen this time of year?
I mean, it is complete and utter dominance. It is greatness. It is everything that he wanted for himself and that Ime Udoka wanted for him. If you remember last summer, you know, I did an interview on Media Day with Jalen where Jalen said, I want to be a better all-around player. I want that. Ime Udoka wanted that for Jalen, you know, play defense, all the things that go with being a great player in the NBA, and we're seeing it. And I think it is, first of all, it's been a treat and a privilege to watch in person, to feel like you're witnessing what at first is like, oh, this is a good run, but at what point is it like, okay, this isn't a run? Like, he's just literally on a night-to-night basis putting the team on his back when there have been so many injuries. And so it's been a pleasure to watch in person. It's been fun. And the vibe on this team and what this team can do and the potential is really exciting, to say the least.
You know, one thing that Jalen has said, not, it's not just him, but it's a lot of the young guys on the team. Every time they speak to you after the games recently, it seems like the main focus for them is just to win. They want to make the playoffs. They want to make the play-in tournament. So that was really interesting to me. You see like how that is the goal here. They're not just going out there going through the motions. Like, they're trying to win it. I mean, as a fan, I think it's all we can really ask for is just for them to go out there every single night and try to compete. You know, let the cards fall where they may up on that. But, you know, just speaking on Jalen, like, is there anything that you kind of noticed with him specifically that, you know, maybe might kind of – led to this, you know, this shift? I know me and Brad talked about this in the last episode. I'm not sure if we've ever seen anything like this in NBA, where like a guy goes from where he started the season to now where he's like leading the charge. And it's not just, you know, on some superficial team. Like, now these are real wins we're getting. The team is battered. We're missing some of our best guys. And despite that, Jalen is still kind of willing us to these wins against, like I said, the Thunder. That's one of the best teams in the NBA. So like, do you have, you know, like any type of shift, or, you know, what kind of made it all of a sudden just click to him?
His confidence is through the roof, as it should be. I think it's important for people to know that this team is very supportive of each other, despite what anybody might say on any social media platform. They are extremely supportive of each other. It is a brotherhood, and they are, of course, you know, I just had a conversation with Cam today. Of course, we've seen Alperen, like, it is so hard with Tari, like, it is so hard for these guys to go out. But what Jalen has been able to do, I think, has been really special. His confidence has been there. And I think it's also a point and a reason why I never want to tell anybody how to be a fan. Everybody is allowed to be a fan however they want to be a fan. But patience is very is difficult, right? Like, and Rockets fans have had to be so patient over the last 3 years. So I think it's special to see what Jalen is doing. I would say, as far as just things that people might not see, it is that his confidence is growing and that he has the support of his teammates. I also think, you know, I love that you brought up the whole all they want to do is win thing, because I just had a conversation with Amen Thompson an hour ago at Shoot Around, and I asked him something about, you know, his mindset the last couple games of the season, and he's like, "We literally just want to win, Vanessa. Like, win. We want to win every game." He said, "I told you that 5 games ago." And when I asked him, I shared this on the broadcast, "Do you want to make, you know, how special would it be for you to make the play in your rookie year?" And he's like, "Great, but I want to make the playoffs. I want to keep going." And so this team, you know, other teams are like, "Oh, we don't watch the standings," or "We don't watch this." No, this team is like, "We are watching. We want it. We're not going to be shy or coy about it." And I love that. So I think that's kind of a long-winded way with Jalen. His confidence has been through the roof. This is a team that is very together. This is a team that has that goal in mind, and they're not playing coy or being shy about it. They want to win. And I mean, who doesn't love an underdog story? Like, truly, it's a March Madness, right? It's really on theme with the NCAA tournament and March Madness. So I love it. I'm here for it. And 10 in a row. Let's make it 11 tonight.
Yeah, no, definitely. And
Before you go to your next question, I wanted to just add one more thing to what Vanessa was saying about Amen, because y'all know I can talk about Amen all day.
Oh, the best.
One thing that I saw that really like stood out to me last game, I kind of want to get your thoughts on. I don't know how you guys see it with like the broadcast and whatnot, but the broadcast showed us like after remember when Jalen Williams hit that really tough shot over a minute sending him to OT, he went and put his head down. And as a fan, like, one, you know, we don't like seeing our guy down like that. But as a fan, for me, that was to see how badly he wanted it in that moment. And I don't know how Brad feels about it. I don't think he played bad defense on that. I think Jalen Williams made a really tough shot, and it happens. You know what I'm saying? And but like the fact that like that moved him, like that's how badly he wants to win. As a fan, that meant something to me.
It should, and this is why you guys are good at what you do. I just talked to Fred and Amin about that exact moment at Shoot Around. So I'm going to do in TV what we call a tease, because I am going to tell the story on the broadcast tonight about what that moment meant to Amin and what Fred's mindset was in that moment, because it was significant. And I love that you noticed that, because when you have a rookie who feels like they made a mistake, feels like they're letting their team down, and you have a veteran like Fred, or and not just Fred, other guys that have been through these situations before, picking the chin up and saying, "We've still got this. We need you. Let's keep going," is crucial. So I'm going to be sharing that story on the broadcast tonight. Good job, Will.
And
You're helping
I
me
love the
on
fact
space only on Space City Home Network.
that I love the fact that Cam Whitmore was one of the first people to go pick him up too. So that was
Love it.
wonderful.
Love it. I think it was significant, and I would say it was even symbolic of what I'm saying with this team being so together.
Yeah, and while we're on the topic of Amen Thompson, we'll jump the line on one of our questions and get back to it
Sure.
later. But yeah, so Amen, you know, in the starting lineup this season, he's averaging 14 points, over 10 rebounds. One of the few players in the NBA that's a non-center averaging 10 rebounds as a starter. So for him to be this impressive, you know, taking on a new role, not necessarily playing a point guard position, kind of playing a lot of screening role, you know, getting to the basket. What were your thoughts of him stepping up in the starting lineup?
It made me laugh, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago when he was like, "I had never set a screen in my life until I came to the Rockets." So
Right.
it says a lot about Amin's ability to be what Ime Udoka has said, adaptable. He has been very adaptable. There has been no, "I don't want to do this. I don't want to be that." He has been adaptable. He has been coachable. He has worked nonstop with Ben Sullivan on the shot that everybody had so many questions about. And I think it speaks to his athleticism. I think it speaks to, you know, we heard about this great athleticism from these twins from Overtime Elite. What is it going to look like? How is it going to fit in with an NBA, you know, an NBA team? And I think the word again that Ime used was adaptable. And that's what I think of when I think about Amen Thompson. We knew what he could do. And in some ways, like, you know what the rookies can do regardless of where they come from. But with Cam, you know, he played at Villanova. So with Amen, it's just been really impressive that he has been so coachable, so adaptable, and honestly, so mature. I mean, he is such a professional. And if you shameless plug, watch that interview that I did with Ben Sullivan. Ben talks about the professionalism that he has seen from Amin Thompson already. So I am a big Amin fan, not only what he is doing on the court, but the way he conducts himself off the court. Comes from a great family, comes from a very dedicated family to the game of basketball. And I think every now and then we just need to stop and say, like, he is doing all of this as a rookie. Like, think about that. He's doing all of this as a rookie. He has a coach in Ime Udoka who is known for being really good with young guys. I mean, I don't have to tell you what he was able to do that 1 year in Boston. So I am extremely high on Amin. Very fortunate to see his growth and maturity behind the scenes. And Rockets fans should be incredibly excited about somebody who is so disciplined, so dedicated, and it's like whatever cliche you want to use, the sky is the limit for him, truly.
Yeah, and really quick, before we pass it off to Will for this next question, there's no shameless plug with you, Vanessa. Everyone needs to see your content. Like I said, that YouTube video is really good. Go check it out on YouTube channel.
I was able to talk to a lot of the assistant coaches this year. We'll do some of them, of course, over the summer and next season. But, you know, Ben Sullivan, obviously, the summer league coach, does a great job, developed that shooting specialty under Chip England. So, check it out. It was fun.
Definitely.
We're just going to, you know, skip around. And I want to throw in one thing. Yeah, I want to throw in one more thing about him in. You talk about what the work he's putting with Ben Sullivan on the jumper. This month, he's shooting 75.7% from the free throw line, which isn't like the world's best number. But if you look at where he was a year ago at OT, he was at 69% from the free throw line. So, like, we're seeing him make the progress. I don't really look at – whenever he's at the free throw line, I'm pretty confident with him right now. I think he was, 5 of 6 from the free throw line against the Thunder. Hit a really big shot. I think that shot that he – that little kind of turnaround fade that he hit in the fourth quarter kept us in the game. So, you know, the development's there, and we see how hard of a worker he is. But you started talking about the coaching staff, and that was one of the questions we wanted to kind of talk about. You know, the Houston Rockets or Ime Udoka's team right now, he's the guy who's getting all of the attention right now, and deservedly so, right? He's done a really good job kind of transforming this team from where it was last year to where it is now. But we talked to you with the gala last week, and you were talking to us about how important the rest of the coaching staff is and how there's a lot of other, you know, former players on the staff, and, you know, just the work they do that we don't necessarily get to see, as fans. Yeah.
Guys, it is literally like almost entirely former players. And this coaching staff has so much pedigree from top to bottom. Not only the coaching staff, the player development staff, the video of Boban is staring at me. Hi, Boban. But, you know, the way that Ben Sullivan is able to work with player development, with the young guys, you have Royale Ivy, who is, you know, this basically de facto defensive coordinator. You have, Tiago Splitter, who his pedigree really goes without saying. And you have these up and comers, you know, Mike Moser, Garrett Jackson, Cam Hodges. It's really exciting to see. And Rockets fans should be extremely excited about the way that they are able to work with the younger guys. But I do want to point out the guys that work in our video room and the guys that work player development. And yes, I made a list because I knew we were going to talk about this. This is just some. Okay, this is not all. This is some. Jeremiah Bonzu played at Dayton. Josh Bostic played at Finley. Aaron Bright played at St. Mary's, actually with Garrett Jackson. Walker Miller, UNC. Matt McQuaid, Michigan State. And these are not only the guys that are helping develop, helping cut video, whatever. They play in these Stay Ready games. And I've done a couple reports on the Stay Ready crew for the Rockets. So the Stay Ready crew is some of the assistant coaches, the player development guys, the video room guys, and then the players that want to stay ready. So think Jock Landale, Jeff Green, Aaron Holiday, Nate Williams. And I talked to Jeff Green about this Stay Ready crew, and Jeff, who's OG, right? Uncle Jeff. Jeff said that, you know, every NBA team has kind of a Stay Ready crew. Like every NBA team has a group of guys that'll play pickup games. Jeff said what makes the Rockets Stay Ready crew different is what I just said. Like all these video room guys, they all play Division I basketball. And so they're trash talking. They're like, it's truly, and it's what Jock Landale has said helped him stay ready. So Ime Udoka obviously deserves, you know, a lot of the credit. He came in with a vision. He came in with an attitude of this is what we're doing. And he saw exactly what he wanted. He knew what he wanted. And he brought in a group of rock stars from top to bottom. And, you know, I love talking about Ben Sullivan and I love talking about Royale Ivy, but I do want to make sure that the guys that are working in the back that are doing kind of the less front-facing jobs, but that are helping our rookies and the guys off the bench stay ready, they deserve a lot of credit. It is a culture of absolute ballers that, again, have automatic pedigree with the players because they played at a high level. Like Josh Bostic played overseas for a long time. And so it's been really cool to see. It is a rock star coaching staff. And I've said that a lot, but it's true. And that seeps through that professionalism, that aggressive mindset, I think seeps through the entire organization and is one of the reasons that we're at 10 in a row right now.
Yeah, and I want to add on to your point before I jump to the next question. You know, having this coaching staff, you know, bringing in Udoka, who brought in, you know, all these former guys, it really does take a village, and it's great to see, you know.
It does.
It wasn't going to happen from day one, but it's been a steady progression to get to where we are right now. It even goes back to when Ime was in Boston. You know, they started March 11-1, and now the Rocketeer, they are March at 12-1. So consistency there, and I do give props to Udoka for bringing in a really, like you said, a rock star.
He had a great one in Boston, too. He had Will Hardy. Yeah. He had Damon Stoudemire. Like, he knows how to bring in people that are going to complement what he needs. And, you know, the other thing he said, I'm sorry to cut you off, Brad, but the other thing that he had said was, you know, when he brought in Tiago, he brought in Tiago, one of the reasons, to work with Alperen Şengün. So he had a vision of exactly, I think, what this team could do and what was needed. And it does take a village. I mean, it takes a village, to say the least. So it is a really good staff.
100%. You don't have to apologize for cutting me off. It's your show. Okay. You're all good. But yeah, we're gonna switch it up a little bit. We have two more quick questions. And you mentioned earlier in this podcast, you know, you're not going to tell someone how to fan, but I did see you tweet, you know, you've been taking notes. You know, we've been seeing the narratives that's been passed around, and it's about our guy Alperen Şengün, who obviously had a bad injury. Luckily, wasn't hurt too badly. Could come back at the end of this year. But to start the month, you know, the Rockets were 4-1 before LP got hurt. And now obviously the Rockets haven't lost a game, you know, since he's gone down. And the narratives have just been, oh, like, you know, the Rockets are better without Şengün, and I see the high race. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that topic.
Okay, so I'm going to start by giving you Ime Udoka's thoughts, because that is first and foremost the most important. He was on the Matt Thomas show with Matt and Ross, and I believe it was Ross that asked about it. And Ime said, now this is about people saying Jalen's only playing well because no Alpie, right? Coach Udoka, quote, "I don't think there's a direct correlation. We were playing much faster coming out of the All-Star break. We went 4-1 with Alpie. Our pace had increased by almost twice. Now we're playing even faster. The one thing you could say is that he may have more touches without the post presence of Alpie, but our pace was the same. We wanted to really increase the pace and get the threes up. And all those things don't have anything to do with Alperen, except for the crowds that he attracts, and that's a great thing. When Jalen was struggling earlier in the year, he had the same quality looks, and Jalen started to read the game better. I think they can complement each other very well." That is straight from, and I just dropped my phone, that is straight from head coach Ime Udoka. So that is what matters first. You have the man at the top saying these two can coexist. Now, Vanessa Richardson analysis. Whatever sport you watch, when you have two superstars, it is thought of as a good thing. And I'm not trying to talk down to anybody. I'm just saying when you have two pitchers that are both really good pitchers and could both be the ace, you don't have baseball fans that are like, we need to get rid of one. Or if you have two great wide receivers, two great weapons for a quarterback, you don't have NFL fans that are like, well, one needs to go. We can't have both here. I know basketball is a different sport. You know, there's, you know, who do you run the offense through, et cetera, et cetera. Things change on a night-to-night basis based on the matchup. Things change when you have injuries. And so to me, they very much can coexist. And Ime Udoka does not dance around things. He is very direct. He is known for being direct. And I don't think he says things that he doesn't mean. So when he says, they can complement each other. And when he says, you know, that Jalen doing well isn't 100% related to Alperen's injury, I would trust Ime Udoka. Again, no shade towards the fans, but I think that there's like the complicated basketball nuanced answer from Ime, and then there's just the common sense, why would you not want two superstars on any sports team? Like, literally, why would you not?
You have to stay professional, so I'll say it for you. I think it's a bad take. I think that you talked about like the.
You think my take is bad?
I think the take that we play better without Şengün, or that he was holding his. I think that's just like, I think it's bad on so many levels. I don't think there's any like numbers that suggest that. I don't think that there's any film that suggests that. I don't really know. Like, I think it's all just rooted in a preconceived notion that you probably didn't like Şengün beforehand, and so now you're kind of using this as evidence. But you made a really good analogy talking about like the different sports, like, you know, two wide receivers or two superstars in baseball.
Why would you not want that?
Exactly.
What makes the situation with Alp and Jalen so, like, just the idea that they can't coexist, or like they want to hold the other person back, is like, it, you know, like the whole go-to example people use when they talk about like two players who can't coexist, they use like the Steph Curry and Monta Ellis thing from like a little over a decade ago, right? Where like they kind of play very similarly,
right.
And it was like, okay, maybe for one of these guys to succeed, the other one has to go. And that's kind of what we saw happen. Steph Curry kind of took off the moment Monta Ellis was traded. That's not the situation here with Jalen and Şengün to me, because they play two different positions, they play two different roles.
Yeah.
And then not only that, the two roles that they play, I think, complement each other perfectly. And I'm not saying that that Jalen and Alp are the exact same thing as these players I might bring up as examples.
Right.
But I think they have like aspects of their game that are very similar, right? Like Şengün draws comparisons to Domantas Sabonis, Pau Gasol, and Nikola Jokic all the time. All three of those players play with, or you know, either play with or still play with, a very dynamic scoring guard that get downhill, like Jalen Green, right?
And it's a good thing,
yeah,
because more good players, that's a good thing.
Yep. Like, and so it's like we see the example.
Right. Well, we see the example, and you know, obviously, again, like night to night basis, based on the matchup, I totally trust Coach Udoka to make the decision on what they do offensively. But every NBA team is different. Like Royal Ivy and Ime, like defensively, they're not doing the same defense every, like things change based on who you're playing. But so depth is a good thing, you know, having a log jam at a certain position is a good thing. It means which, and I'm Jalen and Alpi, this is beyond Jalen and Alpi. But you know, having a logjam at a certain position, people are like, oh no, this, it's a good thing. It means you have depth. It means that when you have somebody like Tari go down or like Cam, that you have somebody that can step in. So I think part of it is things have been so shaky for the last 3 years during what was phase one, what Mr. Fertitta has called phase one of this rebuild. But Rafael Stone has brought in some winners, and Jalen and Alpi get along so well that I will forever think that it is a good thing. And again, I think what Rockets fans need to realize when they read that quote from Ime Udoka, or when they listen to the clip that I think Mitty is his name tweeted out, and then I quote tweeted it, he doesn't beat around the bush. Like, Coach is very honest, and you see that in his pregame, you see it in his postgame, you see it when he talks about the scuffles. So if he says it, I believe it. And I think Rockets fans should be excited about having two superstars. And then that's not even getting into the sensational rookies. That's not even touching on what Tari Eason would have been able to do. I'm still very, very a big believer in Jabari, his development, his dedication, his professionalism. So this core that the Rockets has is extremely exciting, every single one of them.
Yeah, and before I jump to the last question, 100% agree. Like, a really talented young core of six.
Yes.
You have two guys who are on the cusp of stardom, it looks like, and they'll both be 22 at the start of next season. And that's without mentioning, you know, the other four guys that you have on core. So very exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Keep them all together, and we'll see what happens.
Hopefully. It should be fun.
Yeah, but for this season, our last question of the day, of course, the Rockets are sitting one game behind Golden State, so they do own that tiebreaker. We both have 10 games left, I believe. So the Rockets have to lose two less games than them to make it into the play-in. Well, you know, what are your thoughts? You obviously fun winning streak. You think they can pull it off? They have a tough stretch of games coming up. So what do you think?
I think they can. And I think the OKC game was a barometer game. I know SGA was not playing, but OKC is a great team. Not only that, if you've never been to a game in Oklahoma City, that is an extremely hostile environment. And they did it shorthanded. And so if anybody had any doubts about what this team could do, I think the OKC game should be symbolic and should not even symbolic. I think it shows that the Rockets can get it done. The other thing to keep in mind about that win is in overtime, like Jabari said it in postgame. Jabari talked about how he hadn't had a great game, but then he hits two of the biggest shots of the season. So what has made me believe, and I said at the beginning of the season, I thought play-in was possible, but what makes me think even more so now is the way that the team is finishing games. You know, we talked about the thing with Amin Thompson that I'll elaborate more in the broadcast, but the way the team is able to finish games, the way that guys are able to step up, know their role, even if they're not scoring, you know, if you're Dylan Brooks and you're not in double figures scoring wise, but you're making these really important defensive plays. And, you know, I think, you know, Amin Thompson has had all these games where he's been kind of quiet and he's like quietly. And then you look at the stat sheet and you're like, he scored like 26 points. It's like, you know, so what makes me believe that the Rockets can do it is how they're finishing games and the amount of guys that are stepping up in different ways, even when they're not scoring, even what, like, Fred is an assist machine right now. Like, the ball movement is what it is, because was it Chauncey that said Fred's like the last of a dying breed? Was it Chauncey Billups maybe that said something about Fred being a point guard? I believe it was him. I could be wrong, but anyway. What'd you say?
I missed it. I need to go and see if he said that.
I think it was. But, you know, here, I'm going to Google it really quickly so I don't say something incorrect on this podcast. But, yeah, it's the guys that are stepping up and doing it in different ways and finishing games. Yeah, last of a dying breed. This is per Rockets Wire. Sarge said, he's the last of a dying breed, said Chauncey Billups. He is a pure point guard. He plays on both ends of the floor, and he plays the game from the neck up. So, yeah, I mean, Fred, you just have so many guys that are making an impact in so many different ways. And Ime Udoka had talked about, coach had talked about wanting consistency. So he talked about a lot about how they would play one good quarter, you know, or like two good quarters, a really good first half, not a great second half, or vice versa. They're putting together complete games now. So that is a long-winded way of saying, yes, they can do it.
Do you, I know you know, in your short time in Houston now, that there's like some real bad blood between the city of Houston and the Golden State. Like, we don't like those guys, you know, obviously from, you know, the James Harden kind of era thing. But
right.
Do you feel any of that yourself? Or like, where do you kind of fall in that? Are you F the Warriors? Where are you?
I think that there is such a history, and I think that they caused so much heartbreak to our fan base that it is impossible to want them to be successful. Okay. And here's the thing. I grew up in Indiana. I grew up a Colts fan, and it's hard for me to explain to you how much I hated the Patriots. I can't, like, literally I got in trouble at a church function for saying I hated Tom Brady, because it gets so old having the same guy, especially when you're a kid. Like, when you're a kid and all of your emotions are tied to a team, and some people are still like that as adults, which is great. It is hard to explain the heartbreak of a dynasty. It's not just like this team had a couple good years. So I am not going to say F the Warriors or anything crazy like that. I'm going to be very professional. I will tell you, I would take great joy if we passed them
up.
That's
a good way to put it.
And the torch that has been that dynasty, all respect to Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, that torch was like flamed out. And the Rockets did it. It'll be a fun day on Twitter. Fun day on Twitter.
I know it's a little, you know, Bryce is slightly older than me, so he probably feels the same way I do. But like, I didn't get to watch the '90s Rockets teams. I wasn't there for that. I didn't get to see them win those rings. I didn't.
Yeah,
get
me neither.
I was still like kind of transitioning when T-Mac and Yao was here, so I really didn't get to like visit this. So like, my first real experiences with Rockets basketball was like 2012 on forward.
Yeah,
that was watching us lose to Golden State every year. So you kind of talked about the whole Colts Patriots thing. It's the same thing for me. And it's crazy because, like I said, I'm a Rockets diehard fan, obviously, who watches lose to the Warriors every year. But then I'm someone who, like, if it's probably not James Harden, I think LeBron's my favorite player of all time. So I would watch the Warriors beat us in the conference finals, go to the finals and be my favorite player of all time. And it was just like, I can't stand this team. So
no, and it's different. Like I said, it's different when your team is the victim of a dynasty because they're like cockroaches. They will not die. They will not die. So it's not just like we get knocked off from this team because it's an every year disappointment. So I think it would be very sweet for Rockets fans to get to pass up the Warriors. And there's been a lot of things that have happened in the last couple of days, last couple of weeks that I think make it more interesting. So we'll see. April 4th, I think, is going to be a really, really big game. Nothing but respect for what the Warriors have been able to do. But it would be nice if it's the Rockets' time.
Yeah, yeah. In that April 4th game, we may be getting Cam Whitmore back per Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle. So looking forward to that too as well.
Very much.
Yeah. Go ahead, Will.
So I have two questions that I just thought of. I hope Vanessa's open to answering them.
Okay.
Okay. One, I saw the face you made earlier when Brad said Shingu might come back. Is there any, like, we know he suffered.
Oh, wait, I didn't mean to make
okay,
a face.
Okay.
I actually don't even remember him saying that. I'm not kidding.
Okay. So
when did you say that?
So at the very beginning, he was kind of something he kind of just threw in there. And I don't mean to put you on the spot then like that then.
Yeah, no, I can't give you any information about that. I think Şengün, when you guys talked about Şengün, I'm equating it with the Jalen Green conversation of fans saying they both, you know, cannot coexist. So no face on the Şengün thing. Would be lovely to have him back. I have no information on that genuinely. But I just hope that he's able to heal up and get better.
And the last question I had just real quick is,
sure,
you talked about the leadership from Fred VanVleet, right, with you know, Amen Thompson, and then you talked about Dylan Brooks, kind of his leadership. Ime Udoka has been the leader of all leaders for this team. Is there any like standout guys you would say from the young core six who've like really set the best, like the leaders on this team? I assume they're all leaders to a degree, but just someone who's like really made a standout in that department.
Well, I think they're so young. I think they're finding their voices. And I think that you have not only Fred, but you have Dylan, who has set the tone defensively for sure. And then Jabari and Tari and a couple of others have really gravitated towards Jeff Green because Jeff is such a professional. He's so experienced. Amin has said he wants to be like Fred VanVleet. He wants to be a leader. So I think that they're finding their voices and, you know, that they're going to be great leaders because they're seeing, I mean, that was a goal. Like Coach Udoka, when he brought in the vets, said he wanted them to be extensions of himself on the floor. So yeah, I mean, I think that they're all finding their voices as the season goes on. And, you know, I've had a couple of people I've seen online where Jalen is being louder, even like during interviews, like just his voice is loud. Like they are growing. And, you know, I have no doubt the rookies, you know, are going to benefit, the future rookies are going to benefit from the leadership that is happening right now. And that's the definition of a culture, right? Like is you have guys at the top, or in this case, veterans who have been at it, that are able to teach the guys not only what to do on the court, but about nutrition, taking care of their body, how to act as a professional, dealing with the media, dealing with social media, what, you know, all of that. So we have a really good group. I mean, we truly do. These guys get along, and it's exciting that they're this good when we have just this year entered, again, what Mr. Fertitta called phase two of the rebuild.
Definitely. And thank you, Vanessa. You guys have to follow her. Sports Vanessa, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. You know, YouTube channel, like I mentioned before. We want to appreciate you for coming on the show for the second time. Hopefully
Thanks
a
for
third.
having me.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, I think just, we appreciate on Space City Home Network, Space City, wow, can I say the name of my network? Space City Home Network. We appreciate the support. We are in a new phase of our network as well because Tillman Fertitta and Jim Crane acquired the network. So we have a lot of fun content that we've posted, more fun content coming. Obviously, Astro season is up and running now. So thank you everybody for the support, for the kind words, and definitely don't be afraid to interact with me, Craig Ryan. We absolutely love it. Tweet us, Instagram us, all of that. We love Rockets fans. You guys are great, and we yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun with you too.
I just want to
Thank
say,
you.
for me, Brad, I think a lot of people, Rockets Twitter, Rockets fans, I can say that, like, you guys, you, Craig, Ryan, Jonathan Sanford, like, every time I'm in the building, it feels like home, feels like family, like the way I'm welcomed and greeted
Oh,
there.
thank
So
you.
I want to say thank you for that, treating us like that. I know I'm not the only one who experienced that. I know Brad said he experienced it too. I know a lot of the other fans talk about, I think we're one of the few fan bases that have a real relationship with the people kind of behind our team.
Oh, that means a
So
lot.
yeah, that yeah that I mean, it means a lot to us as fans. So yeah, I'm gonna
Yeah.
say thank you for that. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah.
And if nobody else has anything, we can wrap it right. All right, cool. Thank you for coming on the show,
Thanks for
Vanessa.
having me on, guys.
Yes, until next time.